Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and especially dear young people who have just confessed your faith, what a special day it is. And we give thanks to God, to the triune God, for bringing you to this point in your life. We give thanks to Him who has planted this desire in your heart and led you to say to Him and to all of us that you will be His faithful servants. But how can you ever do it? Well, it's at this point that our text for today is so helpful. Psalm 119, verse 80. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. So just by way of introduction, let me point out a few things about this text. One, the psalmist is talking about a blameless heart. Blameless means sound or complete or entire or perfect. In every way, free of sin, in every way, pleasing to God, blameless. And notice, not simply blameless behavior, but a blameless heart. How we live matters, for sure, but this is deeper. Let my heart be blameless. Notice, too, how the statutes of God are the standard. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes. So not what the world determines, not what our own mind and heart say, not what our fellow church members might suggest. No, God's statutes. So all the words of God, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes. And notice too the aim, that I may not be ashamed. That means that I may not have any reason to hang my head or to want to run away or to be embarrassed or afraid, not before God, not before anyone. In light of God's statutes, no critique and no charge. I can look Him in the eye. I can look my neighbor in the eye and not have to look away and not be ashamed, not have to face judgment, not have to be sent away, not rejected. So it's about a blameless heart. The statutes of God are the standard, and the goal is that we are not ashamed. And maybe most importantly of all, still by way of introduction, notice how this is a prayer. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. That is a prayer to God. The psalmist is saying, God, please do this also in my life. So it's about praying for a blameless heart. Do you do that, young people? And all of us? Isn't this what all true Christians will do? Pray for a blameless heart. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Why did I choose this text for this special service? Well, I'll tell you a little bit later in the sermon. But here already we can say is a word to search us and to guide us. Also, you young people, let's think about it together this morning for a brief time, praying for a blameless heart. First of all, desperately, desperately. That means earnestly and urgently. It being so important and so necessary, and we just have to do this every day and sometimes every hour and all our life long especially, praying this desperately. Lord, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes. Why is this a desperate prayer? Isn't it because, as we should know, we do not have blameless hearts left to ourselves? By nature, as sinners, that's true, isn't it? Something the Bible teaches us so plainly. Let me give you just a couple of instances. Genesis 6, very early on in history, in the history of the world, listen to these words, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That text is devastating in its analysis and conclusions regarding our heart. Every intent of the thought of his heart, only evil continually. That means that left to myself, my heart is forever racing down sinful channels, more and many. It's the way I am. It's the way you are. It's the way sinners go. We are not even close to blameless, left to ourselves. Another text, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Or Mark 7, verse 20 through 23, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. From within, from the heart of men, all these things come and they defile a man. And so it starts inside. The Bible makes that clear, doesn't it? A sinful life is the result of a sinful heart. Before we commit sin, we've already thought about sin. We've considered sin. We've chosen to sin. We've longed to sin. We desire sin. Sin always begins in here. That's what the Bible says. And now the problem is that that does not go away just because you made confession of faith. It doesn't go away simply because you receive Christ as Savior and Lord. Of course, we get new hearts in conversion. We get new hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. New minds, new affections, new powers. Things do change when we become believers. The old nature no longer reigns, but it is still around. It is not yet put away. And it is always trying to get the upper hand. And we have to resist it and put it to death even. But that's not always so easy. And we can't do it ourselves. Our own hearts are so unreliable and we cannot change them. And don't we know this by experience? Don't we know something about our own hearts? It's good if we do. It's important that we do. Elsewhere we ask the Lord to search our hearts. And he does. But you know, we should search them as well. And just think, for example, when we search our hearts, how we can find so much, really everything Jesus has described in that text from Mark 7, and perhaps more besides. Things that we struggle with. How common, for instance, it is to struggle with pride, thinking too much of ourselves, too highly of ourselves. Or what about when we love the praise of man more than the praise of God? Or what about when we are so affected and influenced and driven even by peer pressure? So giving in to sin because we don't want others to think that we are a loser or an outsider or some strange person. And peer pressure, by the way, doesn't go away once you turn 20. It's something that happens throughout life, sometimes surprisingly so. Or what about bitterness? The Bible warns us about bitterness, how easy it is, though, to nurse bitterness and to be consumed by bitterness. Or what about when we are tempted to be rebellious and to walk in the ways of sin and evil? Or think of how the world pulls at us and we can find ourselves embracing, even without thinking sometimes, the priorities of the world, or sometimes with thinking. We know exactly what we are doing and we embrace these priorities as if they are all important. Getting rich or having fun or living it up or not caring about the Lord, about His Word, about how we are to behave. Maybe instead of the things of God, we find ourselves drawn to the things of this world and even to live in gluttony or drunkenness or self-indulgence or in immorality. How close these temptations are. How easily accessed they are, and how weak our own hearts can be in the face of them. And what reason, therefore, to pray desperately, Lord, let my heart be blameless. Also because think of where all of this leads. How a blame-filled or an unsound or a wayward heart leads always to shame. So I want a blameless heart so that I'm not ashamed, says the psalmist. Because I understand that if I don't have a blameless heart, then I won't have a blameless life, and then I will be ashamed. More often than not, before others. when they see my pride on display and they call me out, or they mock me for my bitterness or my inconsistency, or my rebellion gets me in trouble with others, or my worldliness ruins everything, my family, relationships, business, reputation. How many ways we can experience shame before others as a result of our sinfulness. But worse even, what about before the Lord? Think of our shame before Him. Think of Adam and Eve after their pride and rebellion and worldliness got the better of them and they found themselves hiding from God in the trees. Think of David after his sin with Bathsheba, how he descended into spiritual coldness and darkness and distance from the Lord. Think of Peter after his denial of Christ, how he left the hall of the high priest weeping. Think of Demas, the sad story of Demas, of whom we are told he left the faith because he loved this world. How did he do when he finally came to stand before God? How fearful for him. And see, sin always brings shame. It brings shame in this life. And if not resolved, it brings shame lasting forever. Those in hell will experience eternal shame. Sin brings shame. It always brings shame. And it starts here. And it always starts here. And that's why we need, you need to deal with your own hearts. And you can't deal with your own hearts yourselves. God must help you. And so we pray desperately for God to give us blameless hearts. But not only desperately, but secondly, let's pray for a blameless heart in sincerity or sincerely. That means that when we say, "Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes," to pray that sincerely means we don't only say the words, but we mean them. We pray them truly with a true heart. And when we do that, that will show up in several ways. For example, to pray for a blameless heart sincerely, that means to look always to Jesus Christ. Let's begin with that. To pray for a blameless heart truly and sincerely means always looking to Jesus Christ. And that's because He is the key to a blameless heart. If we think of Him, on the one hand, He is the only man who has ever had truly and always a blameless heart. He is the only one in all of human history. No one else has lived as He has lived, always loving God, always loving his neighbor, always keeping all the commandments of God, always with his whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus Christ is the only one. You will never do it. Only He has done it. His whole life, from start to finish. Just think of that, how majestic He is and how glorious. All His life, His heart was blameless. Not just His life, but His heart. There was never a single shadow or hint of sin. Not one. Not one proud thought. Not one bitter moment. Not one instance of giving in to peer pressure. Not one rebellious inclination or worldly desire. There was never a moment when He slipped. There was never a spot on His record. His whole life and heart, He was blameless. But then think of what He did. Think of how His whole life He suffered. His whole life He suffered. And then especially at the end of His life, He suffered more. Even unspeakably. And then He died, as we know. And what that was, it was Him paying for all the sin, all the blame that is rightly ours. All the pride and bitterness and rebellion and worldliness. And more besides that lives within us and so often comes out of us. For all His people, the Lord Jesus sacrificed Himself. And think of the shame He endured, how He was rejected by everyone, how He was scorned and mocked and ridiculed, how He was abused and tortured, how He was crucified, and how He was forsaken even by His own Father as He was made to feel all the fullness of God's holy judgment. Yes, the Father even turned His face away from His Son. And now the point is that it is through this Jesus alone and all that He has done, it is through Him only that we can have a blameless heart. First of all, in his paying for our sin through the sacrifice that he offered. And then also in his blameless life being credited to all who trust in him. And that is the key to God accepting any one of us. Not what I've done, but what he's done. Counting for me through faith in him. And that is why we must always look to him. It is through faith that we are saved. It is through faith that we are forgiven. It is through faith that we are righteous. You've come, young people, to stand before us and say, you're nothing in yourself. Only in him can you live. Only as you trust in him are you safe. And so also this morning, through the preaching of the word, the Lord calls us all. If you don't yet believe, the Lord calls you today to believe. Today is the day of salvation. Today let us hear his voice. But think too, how does Lord Jesus Christ, he not only calls us to himself through faith, but he gives us his Holy Spirit. A Christian receives the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, he comes inside our heart to purify our heart. He comes to teach us the way of righteousness. He comes to enable us to run in obedience to his commandments so that we die to sin and so that we live to God. We do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. Mortify the deeds of the flesh, Paul says. By the Spirit of Christ. So young people, there is no other way to a blameless heart than this way. Looking always in faith and trust to Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, save me, you need to say. Lord Jesus, cleanse me. Lord Jesus, renew me. Lord Jesus, help me. That's looking to Jesus. And so as we pray for a blameless heart, if we pray it sincerely, this is what we do, first and foremost. But then something else, something that follows looking to Jesus and is another mark of sincerity. Think here of learning the statutes of the Lord. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes. So that means all the words of the Lord, all his directions, his commandments, the whole story of redemption, everything he has packed in his holy Bible and given to us. Isn't it important that we learn the statutes of the Lord? And will this not also be a mark of our sincerity, so that if we want a truly blameless heart before the Lord, we will study his standards? And here, young people, let me appeal to you to be diligently reading your Bibles. And all of us, of course. Diligently reading our Bibles. How else can we know what God requires unless we are regularly into his word? And the only way to do that is to make a plan and to stick to it. When you will read, what you will read, the way you will read, and with all your attention fixed on the word and words of God, because you want to know his statutes. And nowadays it's so easy, isn't it? All kinds of plans out there. I mean Bible reading plans and devotionals and study materials. And if you read your Bible on your device, you can set it up so that every day when you wake up, there it is, the next reading. You can even get it read to you if you like. The point is, we have no excuses today for not learning and not knowing the Word of God. Somewhere I read once that dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. Dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. And before dirty lives, of course, you have dirty hearts. If you don't read your Bible, you won't ever be clean and blameless in your heart. Sincerity involves learning the statutes of God. For only then will you pray truly for a blameless heart. Looking always to Jesus, learning the statutes of the Lord. And then one other thing in terms of sincerity, how important that we resolve at every point, that we resolve to live in obedience to God. It is hard to pray for a blameless heart if we're not ready to live a blameless life. And that's where we have to do some heart work, don't we? We have to examine our conscience. We have to examine what really lives within our heart and what we really want. If you can excuse sin here and there, if you can tolerate sin on the edges, as it were, if you're comfortable living inconsistently in some areas of your life, that's not right. And you don't really want a blameless heart then. If you can live inconsistently and not confront your idols and not run fast and hard from every iniquity as you find it in your life, really, if you're not seeking to be obedient in everything, you can't truly pray for a blameless heart. It's hard to see why you would even want that. seeking for a blameless life and praying for a blameless heart go together. And that doesn't mean we can ever be perfect in this life. No, we cannot. And daily we run to the cross of Christ. And daily we wash in that fountain that has been opened for sin and for uncleanness. But that's a mark of a true Christian. And let's never let the way we are living contradict the way we are praying. No, but even as you pray for a blameless heart, seek by the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, seek to live a blameless life. That is the way to pray for a blameless heart in sincerity. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes. What area of your life maybe comes to mind in these moments? What area in your life where you know you haven't been wanting to live so blamelessly and you need to go in repentance to God and be cleansed? What a prayer the psalmist sets before us. And we're to pray it desperately. And we're to pray it in sincerity. And lastly, we're to pray it confidently. Confidently. Because the question is, what will the Lord do with a prayer like this? How will the Lord respond when He hears you and me praying these words to Him and asking Him to keep our hearts blameless so that we not be ashamed? What will He do? Can we not say that He will hear from heaven? He will hear. And not only hear, can we not say that He will answer? Yes, He will most assuredly answer. Can we not say that? That He will work in us and purify us. That He will keep us and guard us and preserve us. For He is almighty and He is most gracious and He is so faithful to His people. Think of the words here of Jude as he writes in Jude 24, how the Lord will keep His people from stumbling and present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. As we pray for that, He will grant that. He will do that. Yes, we can be so confident that we will make it through life. Again, not that we will be perfect, not that we will never sin. That doesn't happen till heaven. But still, as we pray for a blameless heart, as we pray desperately and in sincerity, we can pray confidently that the Lord will hear and the Lord will help. We can be totally sure. We can be totally sure we will not fall away from God and we will not be ashamed. God will keep us. How can we know that? How can we be so sure, so confident? What about the fact that He has given us this very prayer? This is His word. Will He not honor His own word? And think too how the gospel is that Jesus Christ will save His people from their sins. I mean, that's what it's all about. God wants His people to be righteous, to be blameless. That's what He's pursuing. That's what He sent His Son to do. That's what the Holy Spirit has been commissioned to accomplish. And so as we pray to God in Jesus' name, will He not be sure to hear us and to do as we ask? Of course, He will be sure to hear us and to do as we ask. Christ will not let His sufferings be in vain, nor will He have sent His Spirit for nothing. And think too how for His own glory, God will keep us in answer to our praying, for how that will glorify Him. For He will be the one who receives all the credit for us having lived and died blameless in heart and not ashamed. He will do it, even as we learn to make this our ongoing prayer. And so, young people and new confessing members, as you take your place today as public servants of Jesus Christ, we welcome you. And at the same time, we tell you that what you have committed to do, you cannot do by yourself. Let it drive you to prayer, including these very words. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I not be ashamed. Let me finish with a personal word. As I said, why did I choose this text? Well, 25 years ago, almost to the day, 25 years ago, this was the text that was preached at my confession of faith. It was in Chilliwack, British Columbia. It was June 9, 1996. My father was the minister, and this was the text. Somehow, I've never forgotten it. Maybe many of you remember your text as well. When I thought about what to preach today, it was this text that came to my mind. And after I finished the first draft of the sermon, I wondered to myself if maybe I had the sermon that was preached 25 years ago. So I went searching through my study, and sure enough, I found it on a tape, as in a cassette tape, that dates me, maybe. Then I had to find a cassette player. I had to go looking for one, and I found one in the nursery of the church. So Friday morning, I put this tape in. Hopefully it would work. Indeed, it worked. And I sat through the service again. That was 25 years ago. And as I listened, it seemed like I was back in that moment, hearing the sermon and remembering that time of life. 25 years ago. Where does time go? But here's why I'm sharing all this. One of the main points of that message was, this is a prayer always to be prayed. If you want to make it in life, if you want to make it for eternity, if you want to get safely into glory, learn to make this your ongoing prayer. And as I listened, I thought to myself, I've not always done that. I remembered the text, but I've not always prayed it. I've not always had this spirit. Lord, keep me. I've been forgetful, distracted, self-reliant. As I thought about that, on the one hand, I was humbled and thankful because despite many shortcomings and unfaithfulness on my part, the Lord has preserved me and been merciful to me. And God's people always can testify to that. It's not our faithfulness. Ultimately, it's God's faithfulness. But at the same time, what I thought was, as I listened, I'm more aware than ever that I need to pray this every day. Whether or not the exact words, maybe, but the Spirit needs to be in my life. And I share this simply to drive home to you young people, to drive home how important this moment is, so that you join in this prayer. Can you imagine yourselves 25 years from now, maybe, or 50 years from now, sharing with your children and grandchildren about God's grace in your life, telling them maybe about this service, and then to be able to say to them, there have been many dangers, toils, and snares along the way, both without and within. But it was learning to pray, Lord, let my heart be blameless, that I may not be ashamed, that I found a secret to God keeping and God blessing me. Let's pray together. Lord our God, let our hearts be blameless regarding your statutes, that we be not ashamed. For we pray this, Lord, with desperation, because we understand our own hearts are naturally not blameless. And even after grace, even after we commit to following Christ, we can struggle still so much. We can be distracted. We can be rebellious. We can be tempted and tried. We're so frail. Oh Lord, will you keep us? And grant that we may pray this sincerely. And thank you, Lord, too, that we may pray this confidently, looking above all to Jesus Christ, the one who lived blamelessly in perfection and who died also for the blameworthy, who died for sinners to save them from their sin. Lord, we have no hope but in him alone and through his Holy Spirit. And so grant that we may look always to him. And Lord, bless also these young people. And again, impress upon them not only the joyfulness of this moment, but also the seriousness of this moment, that they may go forward on their knees and that you will be with them all their days. We pray, Lord, that when the last day comes and they stand before you, they may stand blameless before you in heart and life through the preserving work of the Redeemer and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that for all of us, O God, and again plead with you to continue your work in our families, in our congregation, and in your church all around this world. We thank you again that we could be together in this way. We pray that you will bless us in our fellowship following this service. We pray, Lord, that you will keep us throughout the course of this whole day of rest. Grant that it may be a foretaste of the eternal Sabbath to come. And will you receive all the glory and the praise now and forever. In the pardon of every sin we pray, for Jesus' sake.